when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
I had no hesitation. I just went out and bought, I think, 7 properties in 6 months for starters, and then started to build on that.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Tarun Shum, and in this episode, we have the honor of speaking with Philip Brock, an expatriate who, after 25 years of hotel trade, discovered his niche was in property investment. Don't miss out on his tricks of the trade, on how he was able to build a high-performance property portfolio. Brock was able to turn a hobby into a career, creating his company called Multifocus Properties and Finance within the property investment field.
I'm the CEO of the company, and we essentially help property investors to make money out of property by advising them on strategy, financial structure, and sourcing properties.
A typical day in the life of Brock as CEO involves following up on clients to ensure their satisfaction with their services, and most importantly, checking that with their new clients there is a complete transparency when it comes to understanding why certain decisions were made.
What I do all day is pretty much follow up on my clients, making sure that everybody is happy. And for new clients, I organize meetings, make sure that we can talk about what makes sense for them. And that usually goes through understanding the financial situation and then seeing what the boundaries of the discussions are, which is pretty much linked to borrowing capacity and how much they've got for either equity or savings in terms of a deposit. And then from then on, we start discussing attitude to risk, how it works, then organize a financial structure, and eventually find them a property. So there's a whole process to go through. So I meet people several times and get to the end.
Wow. It sounds like a pretty full-on process there. And there's so much that you do as well. Besides managing the company, you're still quite hands-on and meeting with the clients.
I'm the face of the company. So I've got the credibility out there in terms of knowing what I'm talking about. And that is really, really helpful. I also wrote a book about investing in property in the Australian market. So that all drives, if you want, the educational part of it and forcing you to be hands-on, because a lot of people want to talk to me about what is in the book.
Excellent. So it sounds like you've got a full package for an investor that comes in and help them from start to finish, really.
And that's the idea, because most of our clients are busy executives, and the last thing they want is to spend too much time, or they haven't got enough time to actually do all the work themselves in terms of research, etc., but also in terms of knowledge. There's so much knowledge out there. There's so much on the internet and on social media about what property is about, what's good, what's bad, etc., etc. People get completely confused. So they're looking at understanding, getting a bit of clarity of vision, and have someone who can actually explain to them from start to finish how it's going to work, and how you get in, how much does it cost to keep a property, and then at the end, how do you make money out of them?
Having been involved in property investment for more than a decade, Brock has had the privilege of seeing a few different cycles of the market, give him a foot forward in terms of deciphering what situation could be the make or break of a successful property investment.
as you know, every market, there's not one market in Australia in terms of property. There's several markets. So, you know, when Sydney is booming, other markets tend to be a bit more subdued and vice versa. When Sydney quiets down, other markets are picking up because there's a fundamental demand for real estate transactions, and people and investors move around and look for bargains wherever the cycle is good. So, yeah, it's been, for the last 12 years, we've been just going around and riding every market as they come along.
It sounds fun to do as well. It sounds like you're hopping on a bicycle going around the country.
Yeah. I think the trick is actually to make sure that you've got a long-term prospect of generating capital growth, because capital growth is the name of the game. So we all understand there are cycles out there that, you know, you want to ride the wave, but when you're at the top of the wave, you don't want to sell, but you want to make sure that you're going to have a leveling of that market and then eventually we'll pick up again. So it's a question of marking time and just keep having faith in what you've done.
Brock experienced living in all parts of the world before giving up the stability of his career in the hotel industry and deciding to pursue property investment in Australia.
You can guess from my accent that I am French. I was raised in Strasbourg, which is on the east part of France, born and bred there until I was 18. And my dad told me that if you want to be anyone in this world, you need to speak English. So packed up my bags and went over to London and never looked back. So actually, I've never ever worked in France in my life. I did all my studies and then went abroad and found a job, got into finance, and I really loved it. And I worked for an international hotel group, a French, of course, the Accor group. I loved it. I loved every minute I worked for this company. They were great. They were in a sort of pioneering phase. So they pretty much said, we need to develop some hotels in the UK. Do you want to go? So I went. And after about 6 or 7 years, they said, okay, now we are nice and established there. We're looking at developing Asia. Would you like to go to Bangkok? So we did a few years in Bangkok. And then eventually bought a company here in Australia. So we moved the corporate office to Sydney, and then we did another few years in Tokyo, and then decided it was time to settle down. And this is where I started looking around, because once we finished in Tokyo and we came back to Sydney, and I was still working for the same company. They were actually quite good, because they said to me when I was in Tokyo, they said, oh, you want to settle down? Well, just tell us where you want to settle down. We'll organize the visas. And so I was very, very fortunate.
Having had all this worldly experience under his belt, his wife and himself had to decide out of all the places they had lived where they wanted to settle.
So we make a big song and dance with my wife and, you know, with a glass of wine and a globe of the world and saying, okay, where do you want to go, darling? But in effect, it took us 2 to 3 minutes to decide we wanted to go back to Australia, because we loved it. So we eventually did another 10 years here in Australia with that same company. And this is when, you know, once you've decided to settle down, you said, okay, let's have a dog and let's have a look where we can invest our money. And this is when I came across that notion of negative gearing, and I sort of looked at the numbers. And being in corporate finance all my life, my life is driven by numbers. So I said, okay, let's try to understand how this thing works. So I did. And then I said, nah, that can't be right. So I went to one of the accountants who was working for me and said, you know, I remember his name, Michael Feeney. I said, Michael, where did I go wrong with my calculation? That doesn't make sense. And he looked at the numbers and said, no, you're correct. And I said, wow, that's really a very powerful tool to create wealth. You know, we're using a bit of taxation deferment, et cetera, et cetera. And then once I understood how it worked, I had no hesitation. I just went out and bought, I think, 7 properties in 6 months for starters, and then started to build on that.
He explains his impulsivity as him greeting his midlife crisis with open arms.
But at some point you say, I really love to work for myself. And at that time, I was helping all my colleagues to get into property. And because they said, you've invested in property, we'd like to do the same, but we don't know how to do it. So I sort of helped them along, et cetera, et cetera. And then when I had my midlife crisis and I decided I was going to work for myself, I said, well, there has to be a niche there, because you've got all these busy executives that haven't got time but really should invest in property because they're high income earners and you know, it's a great way to create a bit of wealth there. And so I just slid into that business in a sense. So I'm one of these rare people who actually making a profession out of my hobby, if you want. To the office every morning, it doesn't feel at all like I have to go to work. You know, I've got a spring in my step every morning when I wake up, which is great.
Brock's parents were never hugely interested in property investment. However, recognized the fundamental abilities needed to ensure one success.
The biggest piece of advice that has defined my life was when Dad said, you know, you need to learn English, otherwise you never go anywhere in this world. And that's what prompted me to actually pack my bags and just drive off to London.
Coming up after the break, we'll delve into Brock's journey as a full-time property investor.
At the time, my sort of research and my understanding of property was that you wanted, if you're building a substantial portfolio, you have to be careful of land taxes.
His worst investing moment on his property journey thus far.
I didn't sort of lose any money, but I was just sort of wasting my time. And it sort of taught me that you're much better off staying in a mainstream product, in a mainstream location.
The point at which everything clicked.
Deadpan, he said, well, if you have zero property and you lose your job, you're stuffed. But if you have 10 properties and you lose your job, you're stuffed too.
And that's next. I'm Tyrone Shum, and you're listening to Property Invest Story. Western Australia is tipped to be the next property hotspot. If you're looking to invest and build in WA, take advantage of the affordable land market and record build times with Plunkett Homes. Visit propertyinvestory.com/build to find out why they're WA's most established home builder. With over 150 years of experience, Plunkett Homes helps you develop turnkey homes across WA. To get your fixed price demolition or site works and to maximise profits and minimise time, visit propertyinvestory.com/build. And now back to the show. As Brock puts it, buying 7 properties in 6 months was the irrationality of a man going through a midlife crisis.
In hindsight, I would have probably taken a bit more time to accumulate the thing. But at the time, I had the bank approvals and I had the capital to do it. So I was like a kid, you know, going shopping. That was my first real contact with property. And then you get courted by all these people who want to sell your property. So you feel like a king, you know. But I did my numbers. Although I was flattered that people wanted to talk to me, I knew why they wanted to talk to me. And also, my life has been driven by numbers. So I always rationalized back to that. And at the time, my sort of research and my understanding of property was that you wanted, if you're building a substantial portfolio, you have to be careful of land taxes. Land taxes are driven by states. So I wanted to start and building up a number of portfolio in a state where the land tax was the lowest possible in the country, and the thresholds above which you start paying taxes was the most generous, and that was Queensland. So I started, I think the first 4 properties were on the Gold Coast, and then one in Townsville, one in Brisbane, and one in Cairns. And then after that, I started diversifying into other states. But initially, that was my first foray into investment was really into Queensland.
Having invested in a number of properties over this extended period of time, Brock recalls a moment where his decisions did not lead to the outcomes he had hoped for.
I mean, I never had any major dramas, but when I first invested, I sort of bought a little bit of everything, you know, an apartment here, a house there. And I wanted to test to see what works, what didn't work. It was a bit of a silly reasoning, in fact. But I just wanted to prove that you could, to myself, that you could make property money out of property, being a house, an apartment, a retirement home or whatever. And one of the investments I made, which fortunately was a very small one, was into a retirement unit. I think it cost me about $90,000 for a one-bedroom unit in an over 55 village in Eagleby, and the rent you were getting was, if you want, aligned with the increase in pension, and pension at the time was going up by over CPI by 2% over CPI. So I said, well, you know, at the minimum, the capital growth is going to be 2% above CPI. I said, well, I have that. And the cash flow was great, but there was, you know, I was hoping for capital growth there. And, you know, over time, I just realized that there was no capital growth in this type of products because they're not mainstream. So I sort of wasted a bit of my time there because that property ended up, you know, the body corporate ended up going very high. The cash flow was great, but was completely eaten up by that, and I had no capital growth. So I didn't sort of lose any money, but I was just sort of wasting my time, and it sort of taught me that you're much better off staying in a mainstream product, in a mainstream location, because, you know, your tenants are going to be mainstream people and your buyers are going to be mainstream owner-occupiers, hopefully, or investors. And you want to be where you've got the maximum chance of being able to sell your property when you want to, and at the same time, obviously, having capital growth.
So what happened to that property? Do you still own it in your portfolio, or did you actually let it go?
I ended up letting it go, and it's the only property I ever sold in my life. I've never sold any other properties. I've only been buying.
Through dealing with the consequences of irrational property investment choices, Brock was able to take away some valuable lessons about the do's and don'ts of building a successful portfolio.
But the other lesson I've learned through that one is don't try to force what the market is saying. For instance, banks don't like this type of security. They don't like, so they don't like retirement homes. They don't like student accommodation. They don't like serviced apartments. For all of these, they don't like holiday units. So for all these reasons, there's a reason why they don't like them. Is that if one day they have to repossess the goods, they may have difficulty in selling them. So they're making it difficult. They're lowering the loan to value ratios, or they're not lending to it at all. So that was a good lesson for me, is not trying to force the issue, saying, oh, if the big fours don't want to lend me, then I'll go to some fringe lender because I think it's a good investment. And, you know, I don't believe what the banks are saying. But at the end of the day, you have to play the statistics.
Having delved into the property investment scene, Brock shares his initial thought process behind the risks of what an investor can potentially gain and lose.
When I sort of came across that notion of negative gearing, and I just did these numbers, and I sort of said, that can't be right. I remember saying to myself, I said, well, this is money for jam, because, you know, if you're a high earner and you know, your properties are cash flow positive, you extract equity from a home to put a deposit down on an investment property. So you're putting pretty much nothing in it. Property is cash flow positive and it grows by, say, 5 to 7% per annum. You know, it has to be a no-brainer for most people. But that was back in the old, you know, in 2002 and 2003. Nowadays, the equation is a bit different. But the moment was, I suppose, the aha moment, if you want one along these lines, is that when I talked to this accountant of mine and I said, where did I go wrong? And the guy said, you haven't gone wrong anywhere. Then my next thing was, okay, what happens if I acquire 10 properties and then I lose my job? And he looked at me, and he's an Irish guy, and deadpan, he said, well, if you have zero property and you lose your job, you're stuffed. But if you have 10 properties and you lose your job, you're stuffed too. and that was the thing, that was the click in my mind that said, well, you're absolutely right. Might as well go for it.
So inspired by Philip Brock's story, we'll keep the conversation going in a future episode where we'll discuss his mindset for successful property investment.
My life is driven by numbers. Once the numbers make sense, we just go for it.
Details on his property investment habits.
It's more a monthly habit, which is to... I've got a massive spreadsheet with all my properties and all the key numbers in there.
The strategy he uses to help his clients.
Because of my background in corporate finance, the way I do my business is by explaining the facts to people and then let them make up their mind.
And that's next time in a future episode of Property Invest Story. Also, are you looking at buying property in 2018? Would you like expert tips and advice on the best ways you can purchase property? Whether you're a new or experienced investor, learn from the experts by downloading the Property Investment Buying Handbook. It contains the best tips and advice from 37 of Australia's leading property experts. Simply visit propertyinveststory.com and subscribe to get your copy right now. Thanks for listening.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.